ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, Sunny Hollywood Pony.
What's up, people? All by myself. No Lee. No Joey. Oh, well.
Right there, that's John Jeffrey. How you doing, John?
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about what we got going on. First of all, before we get started, Lee is out. She's handling some family business. Joey, I think he's on vacation. Like, his whole life isn't a vacation. I'm just saying. But one thing that I did notice from the pictures that he's posting is he is with his very lovely and beautiful wife that is completely and totally out of his league. But they're out having a vacation. You know, he works 24/7, or he never works. Anyway, his drumming, that's his job. So I wanted to have a talk about, so John got in touch with us. We had him on for the first Buffalo Rock City record. There's a second one, and we're going to talk about it on the news today. So let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
If you guys haven't noticed, yes, I'm in my new house. This is not exactly where I'm going to be doing the show. That is still being built on the other side of the wall behind my computer. So this is just what I've got for right now. I guess I should center up. What's up? I've got for a little while. And once that's done, I'm going to have like a whole new kiss lair for doing our show. So let's talk about this. John, you guys did this first record how many years ago now?
The first record came out in 2020.
Okay.
December of 2020.
Explain to everybody what the purpose of this was.
Well, it was ironic. I play in a Kiss tribute band called Kiss This, and we're based out of Buffalo, New York. And we were playing in a venue that we got booked at by a very good friend of mine, Jody Valletta, who is in a band also based out of Buffalo called Dew Driver. And after the show, when we were loading out, we were just talking about, you know, the kind of, I guess, dilemma that the real Kiss is in, where when they're doing the shows, because of the fact that they play to a certain percentage of casual, you know, concert goers versus diehard fans, they're kind of restricted in a sense to, you know, playing a lot of greatest hit songs and really don't play a lot of B-side songs. So we just started talking about all the great songs that, you know, that there are in the Kiss catalog that Kiss doesn't really touch on live. And so, you know, Jody, obviously being a musician and, you know, talking about other local Kiss fans that are also musicians, were talking how cool it would be if we kind of did like a jam of all the kind of deep cuts with a bunch of other friends and fans who are, you know, musicians. And we got together and just kind of jammed all these, you know, deep cut Kiss songs. And that eventually progressed from us just doing a jam to like, well, if we're going to jam, like something like that, it would be kind of epic. So we need to record it. And then eventually it just went, well, let's book some studio time and let's do it right. So we never intended to actually do a Kiss tribute record. We just wanted to go and record our favorite deep cut Kiss songs. But I guess by definition, that actually is a Kiss tribute album if you're doing a recording of nothing but Kiss songs. So that's the reality of how the first Buffalo Rock City album actually came together. It was just, you know, a project we wanted to do out of fun, just playing a bunch of songs that we never get to hear, you know, played live that we wanted to do ourselves.
And, excuse me, I remember the cover being so great. Did you have the same person do the cover this time?
Yeah, Kevin Conrad. He actually was involved. He did the McFarlane Psycho Circus Kiss comic book series. He worked on all 31 issues of that. He did all the inking for that and for the album covers for Buffalo Rock City and Buffalo Rock City 2. He did the pencil and the inking, and then he had the coloring done by a gentleman named Dan Kemp. He did the coloring for Buffalo Rock City 2. But Kevin was the you know, he was the one who actually, you know, drew the artwork and inked both album covers.
That's awesome. So now before I show the track listing, because I have the track listing here. Thank you, Sonny. And where can people pick this up?
We sell it directly through Bandcamp, but you know, it's kind of a you know, it's not the easiest URL to kind of roll off the tongue. So we have BuffaloRockCity.com that you can go to, and then just click on buy, and that will redirect you directly to the Bandcamp website to purchase. And you you can purchase it on CD, or we're also offering, if CDs, you know, antiquated for you, you can get it on a USB drive. So we're offering both formats.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's look at the track listing here. Then I want to get into who's on it. I Stole Your Love, right?
Yes.
I love it. Says 89. Dude, anything that says a year usually is not good news.
No, it's actually great news, because the thing is that we wanted to, anything that we did that was like a quote unquote common track, we wanted to have something interesting about it. And when we did I Stole Your Love, we actually tracked our version to the soundboard recording of Paul Stanley's solo band live in Connecticut, Toad's Place, 1989. So we weren't just doing a studio version replication or a live two. We actually recorded that track to Paul's solo band. So it's up-tempo, has the over-the-top Eric Singer-type drumming, and the guitar player, Howie Simon, who's actually in Winger, he played the solo, you know, pretty much as like an amalgamation of what Bob Kulick played mixed with kind of what Ace Frehley did on the original.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Have Love Will Travel, Save Your Love, Calling Dr. Love, so when you guys, as we're going through these, when you guys, who picked them? Did the people that were performing in them pick them?
No, I actually picked the track listing, because it was funny, when I was doing the press for the first album, I did so much that I actually started coming up with sound bites, and I kept referring to the first Buffalo Rock City as the non-cock rock Kiss tribute album. And the guys that were on the record, they were busting my chops about, you know, using sound bites, but I wasn't doing it intentionally. It was just people would ask me, you know, what inspired me to pick the songs that were on the first album. So I figured if the first record was going to be the non-cock rock Kiss tribute album, the second one would be the cock rock Kiss tribute album. And when I started looking through all the songs that were kind of fitting that criteria, I never realized how many Kiss songs have the word love either in the song title or in the chorus, or the song is essentially about love one way or another. So that was one of the things that kind of like built the song list for the album. And then the other thing was when I started looking through the songs that had love in them, I also noticed that a lot of the songs, they actually featured tracks that had ghost players on them. For example, I'm sure you guys know, Alan Schwartzberg played on I, not Eric Carr. You know, Vinnie Vincent did his first ghosting on Creatures of the Night when he was still Vincent Cassano. Bob Kulick was on Killers. Kevin Valentine played You Love Me to Hate You on Hot in the Shade. So it was interesting that a lot of the songs that I wound up picking were songs that also featured, you know, ghost players. So that was kind of like a dual theme that was going on with the song listing for the album.
Son, do you have any questions?
Yeah, John, you were talking about B-sides. Dude, some of these are Z-sides.
Right.
Right? Have Love Will Travel. What you right. see is what you get. Like, dude, you're going deep here.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. You're a Kiss nerd just like everybody else? Is that what it
is? Oh, yeah. I never put myself above anybody else, man. I'm a fan just like anybody else. And when I, you know, do these records, I do it because I know it's something that I love for Kiss fans like myself, for the diehards. This is definitely not an album made for, you know, casual, you know, just casual Kiss fans. This is an album for diehards.
That's awesome. I'm going to keep going with this. Down on Your Knees, Hell or High Water, Tomorrow and Tonight. I love that song. Making Love, love it. Saint and Sinner, Love for Sale, Who Wants to Be Lonely. So, all right. So were people jockeying for, hey, I want to do that song? Or is it all basically the same people?
No. I mean, the great thing about this record is that on the first record, we were lucky to get about six national, you know, celebrity guests to appear on the record. And on this record, we have about, there's 13 celebrity guests who appeared on the record. So like for Who Wants to Be Lonely, we had Jean Beauvoir, who co-wrote the song with Paul Stanley. He right. sings the lead vocal on the record.
That's awesome. I see Jeff Scott Soto sang on it.
Yep. Love for Sale. That's actually a cover of the Peter Criss song. The song was originally written by Phil Nero and Peter Criss in 1991. And Phil Nero originally was supposed to appear on the record, but he unfortunately had passed away from cancer. And I reached out to, he was in, there's a band based out of Buffalo called Talus. And if you guys are, I don't know if you guys are
Billy
familiar
Sheehan's
with
band.
Billy Sheehan, right. Well, they actually wound up there's two different versions. There's the original Talus, and then there's Talus version 2. And Phil was the vocalist for version 2. So I contacted the remaining members of Talus version 2 and asked them if they would record a song as a tribute to Phil. And I wanted it to be Love for Sale because it was something Kiss related that he wrote with Peter Criss. So, and Dean Castronovo, the drummer from Journey, he was very helpful with me. He sings Love Gun and played drums on Love Gun. And he actually helped me get Jeff Scott Soto on the album, John Corabi, he got him on the album, and Johnny Gioeli from Hardline. He got those three vocalists for me to appear on the record.
That's
so
awesome.
So it was with Dean's help that I got Jeff Scott Soto to sing a song. Ironically, Jeff was at the time in a band with Billy Sheehan, Sons of Apollo, but it was just coincidence that they both appeared on the same track. It had nothing to do with them being in a band together. So that was an interesting thing on itself.
That's cool. So finishing out the list here, we have Exciter. Shoot You Full of Love. That's so dirty. You Love Me to Hate You. Love Gun and What You Want. What You See is What You Get. I still have not unpacked my reading glasses. I'm surprised I did that well. All right. So you picked all these songs.
Yes.
Was it okay? Did you start with a list of like 30 and then whittle it down, or did you just immediately know what you wanted?
I pretty much knew what I wanted, again, going by all, you know, songs that had love in the title or were about love in one way or another. And just kind of started filling in the spaces with, you know, the different special guest celebrities that I was talking to about appearing on the record and figuring what song would be best for who.
Sonny?
So you said figuring out what songs are best for who. So Corabi didn't choose Down on Your Knees. Had he haven't even heard that song?
No. I thought that his, first of all, I thought that Down on Your Knees, I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but I think Paul Stanley, early Paul Stanley, was very reminiscent of Steve Marriott, Humble Pie, you know, like Kiss Alive. And I think the Killers recordings was the last time that Paul kind of had that attitude in his voice. Because then from Creatures On, I think it was more of a cleaner tone they utilized and didn't have like really that kind of raspy, you know, attitude, like the, you know, like Alive era. So I thought John Corabi's voice would be really a good fit for a song like that. And so that's, I had him sing that song, and he had never even heard that song before he actually sang it.
Well, he did a great job, because I'm listening and I'm like, wow, hearing John do this, God, I guess Gene could have done this and it would have been fine. It would have actually had the same kind of grit. I love Paul's version, don't get me wrong, but Paul singing all four of those songs on Killers, this could have been something that Gene sang and it would have came out great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is this a limited as far as the CDs go, or sometimes when these things get put out, there's like, we have 1,000. Once they're gone, so get them. Is this something that no matter how many people order it, they can get it? Obviously, you know, they can get like, you know, a card to stick into their computer, but right. What about CD-wise?
Yeah, I mean, we did an initial pressing of 1,000, and it's really all about, you know, demand. If there's more demand, you know, we'll press more, you know, but the initial pressing is of 1,000. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, selling music is still difficult these days. And so somebody like myself, I don't have, you know, any kind of distribution behind me. It's all grassroots, word of mouth, you know, doing podcasts like this to get the word out. And, you know, so I just am, you know, thankful to Kiss fans that, you know, have already, you know, purchased the album. And Dean actually did a post about the album on Friday. And that really started creating a whole new buzz for the record. And I've been getting a lot of orders for the record over the weekend. The record just came out on Halloween on the 31st. So it's only been out now for a little bit.
If for those of you that are watching that don't know, Sonny really is pushing for t-shirts of the album cover. So hopefully how did you hook up with the guy? The art, I know, Sonny, you own some art from him, don't you?
So I got it because I got the first Buffalo Rock City record, and I'm like, I want this art. And come to find out, Kevin was selling prints of it, right? So I was like, oh my God, I got to get, and he had other stuff. So he had done some Eric Carr stuff, and he had done some just rock and roll stuff. So I got a bunch of it. It was affordable, and it's a great addition to the man cave for sure.
Yeah, that is one of those things that I got to, I have not yet seen this album cover. The original one was really cool and very creative. I love that whole idea did you come up with that, or did the artist come up with it? Did they have free reign
it was my concept. The first album cover was actually, you know, I was trying to think of a way to, you know, use an iconic album cover, iconic pose. And I chose, you know, the Destroyer pose, because I figured even showing the Kiss members from behind doing that iconic pose, that people would get that, even showing it from behind. And for the Buffalo connection, I had them basically going towards City Hall. That's Buffalo City Hall. So for the second record, my idea was to have a connection with the Love Gun album cover. And there's the Albright Knox Art Gallery has a very similar aesthetic to the pillar structure that's on the, you know, the Love Gun album cover. So I actually went and I took photos of the Albright Knox Art Gallery, and I sent them to Kevin, and I told him, you know, it'd be cool to have, you know, that is the background representing, you know, the Buffalo connection, and then have the Kiss guys, of course, you know, in their pose. And Again, in my tribute band, our drummer, he portrays Eric Carr. So that's why on the first album and on this album, instead of Peter Criss, Eric Carr appears, because it's a representation of our band and who we portray as Kiss This. And then we just thought it'd be fun to have, you know, kind of one of the Love Gun girls kind of, you know, take over, you know, center stage, and she's holding the, you know, the Love Gun, you know, pop gun that came inside of the
right
the Love
yeah.
Gun album.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So, you know,
I'll tell you something that I Sonny, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have seen the first Buffalo Rock City album cover a number of other places where I believe people are cutting out the band and then using it in other places, basically like end of the road, like Kiss is leaving. And I've seen it on a number of different memes and stuff like that. Have you seen this stuff?
I have. And you know, and that was one of the things that Kevin and I talked about, was that when we had him do the first album cover, he actually did Prince without the name of the project on there. And I was okay with it, because I thought it would be, you know, fair for if people wanted the artwork and they didn't necessarily want to have an album cover title on it. They just wanted the artwork. But unfortunately, as with anything, you know, you try to do with good intentions, there's people that take advantage of that and they start to utilize the art for their own purposes and so forth. So Kevin and I talked about him doing prints for Buffalo Rock City 2, but that's definitely going to be done only with the album cover title on there, just, you know, to prevent people from doing, you know, what you had suggested, utilizing, you know, portions of the art for their own purposes and just not crediting, you know, not crediting the project, not crediting Kevin, not crediting anybody, but some people actually making it appear as though they're responsible for the artwork themselves, which, you know, is kind of bogus.
Yeah.
Sonny?
I love that it's not I'm a Spotify user. I'm just going to say that out loud. I love Spotify. I love that it's not available on Spotify. With you guys, Classic 78, you're kind of making it a little bit of a treasure hunt, which I think the Kiss nerds like us appreciate a little bit of a treasure hunt. We want product. We want to be able to own the product and not everybody be able to kind of get it. I know for you guys it probably is not great, but for the fan, it feels better. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you the God's honest truth. The situation about that is, with the first album, what we wanted to do is we wanted to have it available in physical format, which we did have it up through Bandcamp. And we wanted to also have it available for digital download through iTunes and through Spotify. And when we were looking for digital distribution, the company that we came across was DistroKid. And the thing about DistroKid is that it allows you to be put up on iTunes and Spotify, but it also puts you up on all of the free streaming platforms too, like YouTube and all these other freebies. And so we had it up, and all of a sudden we're seeing it, all the songs on YouTube for free. And it's like, duh, anybody knows that it's so easy to just grab anything off of YouTube or anything and download it and just, you know, steal it. So we knew that we lost a lot of sales from that initially being up through, you know, DistroKid. So we canceled the whole thing with DistroKid, finally got it off of YouTube. And then even with this album, what we did through Bandcamp is we only put one song up on Bandcamp for digital download. And this way, you know, we're hoping that it's going to, you know, prevent people from just, you know, taking the songs and just, you know, putting them out there. And because this is all for charity. That's one thing I want to underline.
Right. Something else I wanted to bring up. It's cancer charity, right?
No, actually, this is for the first album was for the Compass House, which is they help the homeless youth population here in Western New York. And this album is actually, we're donating the proceeds to an organization called the Mariah Love Fund. And they help convalescent here in Buffalo. And if anybody has known anybody who's become disabled and has tried to go through the disability process, it's so hard, that process to go through. Sometimes it can take anywhere from 2 to 10 years before you get actually approved and get benefits. So you can actually become injured, become unable to work, and you have no way to bring in money. And you're waiting for, like I said, sometimes it can take up to a decade before you actually start getting money and you're disabled. So this organization, what they do is they help people in that type of predicament, and they help them. They pay for their medications. They give them rides to their doctor's office. If they have specific, say they have back issues, they'll actually provide them with special orthopedic mattresses so to help them with their back issues to be able to, you know, sleep. If anybody who's got back problems out there, they know how hard it is sometimes to be able to sleep. So it's a great organization. And the woman that the organization is named after, Mariah Love, she actually traveled to Paris in the early 1800s, and she saw how the way the nanny system worked there in Paris. And she adopted that philosophy and brought it back to the United States. And she started the very first daycare here in Buffalo, New York, in the United States. And that was, you know, all because, you know, this great woman and her organization is, you know, to this day is helping a lot of people. So it's not a huge organization, you know, some of the big, you know, cancer, you know, organizations and so forth. So, but it was really important for me to be able to find an organization that was literally helping people where I live. And so that's why I picked the Mariah Love Fund to work with, to try to help and, you know, raise money for with the sales of the record.
Okay. So listen, I want to thank you for coming on and telling everybody about this. You guys that are, watching and listening, buy this. Okay. Here's why. Not only are you going to get some really great music, but you're going to be giving money to a great charity. The people that have, put this record together, they spent their own money. Was it donated time in the studio?
Everybody who participated on the record donated their time, but there were a lot of startup costs involved. Probably the biggest cost was actually to obtain the mechanical royalties to legally release the record, which, you know, I suppose some people don't do it on the up and up, but I did everything. Like with the first record, I obtained all the legal rights to all the songs to, you know, release them. And that's not cheap. So, you know, there are certain things that I couldn't get around, even with everybody donating their time to the record. So there still was a lot of cost in order to, you know, to release the record. But it definitely made it easier with, you know, having, you know, awesome people, you know, like John Corabi and Dean Castronovo, Tommy Henriksen from Alice Cooper, you know, everybody who participated on the record, just donating their time, that made it a lot easier to be able to accomplish this.
That is awesome. So go ahead, pick up the record. I promise you're not going to be disappointed. It's just one of those. The last one was very good. You guys, being a Kiss fan, you're a completist. So if you've got the first one, yeah, gotta have the second one. Can you tell everybody where to get it again?
Yeah, easiest thing is just go to buffalorockcity.com and click buy, and that will redirect you right to the Bandcamp site. And one thing I want to point out for Kiss fans too is the last song that's on the album is a song, it's called What You See Is What You Get. And it's actually a song that was written by Gene Simmons and Mitch Weissman that was demoed for Crazy Nights, and it was never finished and never released. And I worked with Mitch on the first album. I had him record the vocals for While the City Sleeps, which was one of his co-writes on Animalize. And I encouraged Mitch to finish the song. and we recorded the song. So now there's a fully complete version of what you see is what you get. And I just, when I heard the demo, I mean, the demo is very, very primitive sounding, but the chorus, the combination, the harmony of Gene's voice with Mitch is so Kiss that I like, this is a song that Kiss fans will love. And it just needed a song that needed some love and needed to be finished. And it's on this record. And I definitely think it's one of the highlights. And as you said, being a completist, and if you collect, you know, Kiss demos, like things on, you know, Gene's, you know, the Vault and the Kiss box set, then this is definitely up your alley in that respect.
Awesome. And the one question there says, when do you expect the CDs to ship?
We're actually shipping them right now. It was just released on October 31st and we were just, you know, waiting, you know, for the release date to start, you know, shipping them out, and they've been shipping ever since, Tuesday.
Yeah. 'Cause you're in the post office right now.
Yeah. Yeah. My office has turned into the post office, since the first Buffalo Rock City record. So,
well, that's awesome. Sonny, you have any other questions before we go?
No, I'll just say that I've heard all the tracks. I haven't got my copy yet. I bought one, and I'm sure it's on the way. There's some unique stuff on here, guys. I mean, you want to get this because I, you know, I can be very tough on folks that go redo Kiss songs because I want them the way I want them. And there wasn't one that I listened to that I was like, what the hell is this? Instead, I was like, who the hell is Dave Comer? Because he can pull off both voices on I. Like, I was doing that kind of stuff. So there is nuggets in here that you're going to want as a Kiss fan, no doubt.
That's awesome. John, thank you, man. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. And my good buddy, Joe Teresi, who is my right-hand man, he's a good friend of you guys. He was telling me, wanted me to say hello. Joe was huge, huge. I couldn't have done this record without him. The amount of engineering time that he spent on this record, just unbelievable. And I gotta give it up for Joe for his participation in this record. And again, he mentioned to me, I told him I was coming on the show and he wanted me to say hello to you guys.
That's awesome. You tell him we said hello. We got one more thing before we go. Is your band playing anywhere? Kiss This?
Yes, we're actually doing our very last show of 2023 on December 16th in Rochester, New York, at a place called Bunsey's. It's a very cool venue in Rochester, New York. The guy, Dave Bunce, is a huge supporter of the band, and we started the 2023 year at Bunce's, so we're ending the year there. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great show.
That is awesome. Thank you very much for coming on. You guys make sure you pick up the record, and we'll see you next time. All right, buddy?
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. Thank you for the support.
Absolutely. Bye, John. Peace. Oh, I cut him off. I feel bad.
I'll tell you something. One is, you know, to stitch up the Buffalo Rock City piece, the production is huge. Like, the production sounds amazing. John does his best Ace impression on Have Will Love Will Travel on guitar. There's this guy named Tommy who sings the lead on Save Your Love. He doesn't sound like Ace, and he wasn't trying to do an Ace, but he did a good job of not changing the melody. Dave Comer did both vocals on I, which I thought it was great. Karabi doing Down on Your Knees. God, you should get the album just for that. There's a female that sings Hell or High Water, which at first I was like, what the hell is that? And then at the end, I'm like, oh, that's really cool with the female singing that part. Let's see. Obviously, Jeff Scott Soto and Billy Sheehan did a song, Love for Sale. He talked about that. They kept this Whisper and Exciter, which I was watching for. See, I could be an asshole. Like, if you're not going to do Whisper Exciter, like, I'd have been like, what the hell? You didn't Whisper Exciter. The guy, Gene Schmidt, who did the solo on Shoot You Full of Love, dude, straight up Vinny solo, did it perfect. You Love Me to Hate You. A woman is singing and then a guy sings, and I think they're related and they might be married. I'm not positive. They both have the same last name. But a woman, a female vocal and a male vocal on that song, You Love Me to Hate You, came out really, really good. And Dean Castronovo absolutely killed Love Gun. Dude, you know how hard it is to sing a Paul song from 1977? Dude, Dean Carmaster Noble killed that song. He did so good. Awesome. I'm not bullshitting, dude. It is a really good 17 songs. Right? Like, they didn't have to do 17 songs. It's really good. It's worth it.
You know, we had a topic of the week for this week, and unfortunately we lost Lee at the last second, and I really wanted to do it, but I think I want to hold off on our topic of the week for because it really is one of those ones where we're going to need everybody's opinion. But I do want to mention a couple of other things that we could talk about now. I don't know if any of you guys out there saw any of the footage of the Hollywood Bowl show. There was this big announcement. I kept hearing a couple of different people got in touch with me. Hey, Gene's going to have a big announcement the night of the Hollywood Bowl show. And I never actually heard what an announcement, if there was an announcement. I do know that they did fireworks after the show. Our friend Mike sent us a video of not only the fireworks show, but the opening of the show. And it is I really wish I would have been there, just simply because of how the bowl like reflected the lights that were going on from the show on the inside. It was really beautiful. Sonny, you said you've seen some shows there.
Yeah, I've seen some shows there. I saw, I think I saw Hailstorm there once. I saw, I can't remember who else I saw there. But I've been there two or three times. And it's a pretty cool venue. You know, it's state-of-the-art for what it was. It's not state-of-the-art anymore because, you know,
yeah,
it's been years and years old. So a bunch of lights going off and, you know, Kiss doing their thing at the Hollywood Bowl. Of course it works. It's absolute.
And, you know, I read this was the first time they ever played there.
That's surprising to me. I guess they usually play the Forum or some other place, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, you think that, you know, so many legendary bands and everything have played there. You would think that Kiss would be like, I want to play the Hollywood Bowl. And they literally waited until the last, they're almost done.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Rod Stewart there. I forgot. I saw Rod Stewart there. It was a great show.
Rod Stewart. Every time his name is mentioned, I always think of when he, I think he did like an Unplugged on MTV or something like that. And he, I know this is totally off topic. I'm sorry, but it really kind of, I always thought it was funny because I think he was married to some model at the time, Rachel Hunter, maybe. He said, I wrote this song and blah. He mentioned the year, and then he said, me wife was two or something like that. It's like, damn. I always remember that because I remember when he said, what did he just say? Obviously, she's a grown woman and he's a grown man. But, like, that's a lot of years. It had to have been at least, I don't know, 20 or more years separated. I'm looking here. Let's go ahead and bring this up. Share my screen with you guys. And here we go. So you guys can see we're running out of shows. The bar on 27 days, 19 minutes, 10 seconds left. And Kiss is done. It says, so November 6th, they'll be playing in Seattle. Then they got Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Montreal, Quebec. Am I going to say that wrong? Is it Canada? Toronto. Then Knoxville. I'm going to be at that one. Indianapolis, Rosemont, Baltimore. And that's it. Two shows in New York at the end. That's really amazing. I did see an interview, you know, we've all had a talk about whether or not Kiss could play the Sphere, you know, and just as like, you know, like U2 just recently did. And Paul Stanley basically said in an interview, as far as I'm concerned, we're done. And
yeah, he made it sound like he wasn't even interested.
Yeah, which was really interesting to me, where he didn't say, you know, that would be cool, but I think we're pretty much done. You know, it was just like, as far as I'm concerned, we're done. And that's fine. I think that if they were to, me personally, if they take their boots off on December 2nd and never play another live show as Kiss, I think I'm going to be fine with that. I've come to the accept it. This is, you know, what, and they're not young anymore. You know, I get that. But like Sonny has said to me a number of times, it's going to get interesting to see what they do. Right, Sonny?
Yeah, you know, it's life after Kiss. Like, what happens? Do you get... I'm kind of looking forward to... I wish it would have happened 20 years ago, to be honest, because we would have had 20 years of everybody doing something different. You're in all kinds of things, right? But unfortunately, now we'll only get maybe some years of it. Maybe they show up at conventions of some sort. Maybe they... you know, I guess they'll keep doing their art or whatever, but, you know, is there a new TV show on the horizon? Who knows, right? But I'm kind of looking forward to what the next part of the story is. The problem is that you would think there's going to be a next part of the story because, like, for Rush, there's been no story. Like, they retired and that was it, like, right? But they didn't have a mass media market, the marketing thing that they had to keep doing to keep the Kiss name alive. You know what I mean? So. Right. No pun intended. See what I did there? Kiss name alive.
Boom. Get it? Nice. Nice.
But anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad Paul's like, dude, come on. No, we're not doing that. Like, we need to put an end to this. Yeah, Gene never says no to nothing. We need to have Paul be, yeah, we're not doing that.
So, you know, the next step, the next level of what's coming is so, it's unknown to fans massively. You know, it would be so cool to find out that behind the scenes they're planning a 2.0 or anything like that, or anything really. I really want a biopic to get put out. You know, I think that Kiss is legendary enough to have something like that, you know. I'm not necessarily saying they're Zeppelin or, you know, whatever, or any of the, you know, like they're the biggest, you know, every time I say that they were the biggest band in the world, I get emails, which by the way, you can send to podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one
at gmail.com. If you want to ask any questions or give us a subject, we will, we'll check it out. But I do think that their story is interesting, don't you?
Oh, dude, the story is made for the movies. The story is made for Netflix. The story, like, I wish somebody could take it and make it Seinfeld runs for 10 years. Like, if somebody could make it into something that was, it doesn't have to be a sitcom, it doesn't have to be drama, it doesn't have to be action, it can be kind of like a docudrama type thing, but you know, you'd have to have a big name behind it to really do it right. And I don't know if you can have Paul and Gene involved. Like, it has to be from a fan perspective of some sort. But yeah, the it is written for that. Alice Cooper's story is written for that. Like, there should be major motion pictures about it. And it should happen while they're alive instead of 10 years from now.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, I don't know how many shows were left on there. I think it was about 15 shows and then it's all over. You think about it. We're already past a month away. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, when I was thinking about it the other day, I was like, the last two shows are at the beginning of December, not at the end of December. They're at the beginning of December. So at the end of this month, you got 2 days of Kiss shows in New York, done. So they say. And I know we always say that, but it's pretty crazy.
So for me, the last time I'll ever see him is when I saw him in Dayton earlier in the year. That'll be the last time I ever see him.
Wow. I have three more shows. It's going to be fun. I'm going to make everything of it that I possibly can. And I think that it's the way I need to go out as a Kiss fan. Last two shows they ever play, I was always worried that I wasn't going to see the final show. Me and my friends and Karen all made sure that we were all going, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But we still have a little less than a month to talk more about that. Next week, we will, I think that Lee will be here at least. Maybe Joey, I'm not 100% sure, but we're going to tackle the topic of the week that we have. And hopefully, it won't be too controversial, because I have a feeling that it will be. We're getting ready to head over to the Patreon. So you guys haven't signed up for the Patreon yet. You can get it free for a week and check out what we do over there. And then if you like it, you sign up and it's a lot of fun. And Sonny, do you have anything to add?
No, thanks for listening. Yeah, somebody just said, you know, Gene might do a solo tour in 24. I hope he does do a solo tour in 24. And I hope he does some, like, just quick meet and greets, not $1,000 ones. Right? Like, wouldn't it be great for Gene to just meet some folks and not have to pay $1,000 each to meet the guy, you know, or whatever it is? Like, that would be kind of nice. But, you know, if it happens, great. But, you know, what Gene's going to do, what, 30 shows? Yeah, he wants to be out there working. I get it. He's a workaholic. Yeah, I get it. I am too. But you get to an age where he's not going to do 100 shows next year. He's not nuts. He's going to do maybe 30, right? You go out for a couple of weeks and you come home for a few months and then go out for another couple of weeks. And it's possible he doesn't even like go across the country. He just decides to do the coast to coast, some Texas, you're done, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So. But yeah, thanks for listening, and thanks, John, for being on. And I'm telling you, dude, that I think the CD was only like 10 or 12 bucks, right? I don't think it was expensive.
That's not a bad deal at all. And you get, I think it was 17 songs.
You will not be disappointed with these 17 songs. They sound great.
All right. Well, you know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss. You know, is just out of curiosity, am I really echoey?
No, not much.
All right, it's not too bad. All right, I'm excited. For those of you guys out there that don't know, my girlfriend Karen, to make it more of a Kiss room, was going to stand behind me for a whole show just holding a Kiss poster.
You know, she's been behind you the whole show.
Nah. Anyway, I think I would have noticed. Anyway, all right, we're headed over. We'll see you guys next week. And we love you guys. This is the new step. Look, it's a new chapter in Kiss coming up, new chapter in Podcast Rock City. And we're at it. You know what I'm going to say? We love Kiss, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room's a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.